Good morning, church. It has been so wonderful this morning to be able to worship together. And I know that spring has sprung. I think I see some lovely new dresses and some guys with some bright colored shirts. Some are even brave enough to don purple on a day like today. And we appreciate it so much. In fact, I look out and I see some new faces, new friends that we get to meet. I hope that you won't run off right after services, but can stick around and get to know us a little bit. We'd love to get to know you. Maybe you're here today because you're visiting with some family. That's a wonderful thing. Maybe you came with a friend today that wanted to share with you this congregation and worship the Lord. Perhaps somebody slipped a card into your hand in this last week, and it had the title of today's sermon, which is, get my clicker here, I'm broken. Can Jesus help? That's our theme. Does it resonate? Have you ever looked at your life, maybe just your heart, and thought, something isn't right? Something's off, something's broken. And it's not just a bad day. It's not just, well, I made a mistake. It's something deeper. And sometimes that brokenness, it's obvious, right? It's my life is falling apart, or I've got very strained relationships. I'm facing some consequences I cannot undo. But other times, that brokenness is harder to see. It's quiet. It's hidden, perhaps beneath routine or our responsibilities, or some might even hide it in their religion. The truth is that we all know what it means to live in a world with broken things, but what's more, we know what it is to be broken people. And I love this parable in Luke 15. I hope that you will be opening your Bibles there to Luke 15 as we walk through it. Because in those seasons, in those moments when we know our brokenness, we wonder, can this be fixed? We wonder, can I be helped? And Jesus tells the story in Luke 15 that's not just about one lost son. He's actually opening a window into three different people, and every one of them, in their unique way, is broken, has a broken heart. There is a son broken by sin, but then there is a father broken by love. And then we even come to a brother broken by self-righteousness. And here's what makes this story so powerful. Because if we will listen to these words carefully, we won't just come to see them. We will see ourselves. And as we walk through the parable this morning, I want you to keep asking one question. Where is my heart in this story? Where's my heart in this story? I'm broken. Can Jesus help? And so let's step into the story and let's look at three broken hearts. Again, this isn't just about one lost son. This is a story about three hearts, and they're each broken in a different way. Now, I do want to start with the one labeled the prodigal son. And let's look again at verse 11 in Luke 15 and verse 11 to discover this prodigal and how a selfish heart led to ruin. The scripture says in that place, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, that is, his inheritance. Now notice this, here's a young man who knows he is in a great house. His father has many possessions, but he makes a very strange request for the father to divide inheritance, because when do you get an inheritance? When someone dies, when someone passes away. And yet he's asking for these goods now. It's quite unkind. Well, why does he want all of this money? Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. It means wasteful living or riotous living. He spent all that wealth, fast times, new friends. He was having a ball. Far from the father, far from the things his father would approve. But things changed. Verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, the far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Ah, to add insult to injury. No friends will help him, none of these neighbors around in that far country. So he goes to take a job, and that man is a harsh master. He gives him quite low and insulting work for a young Jewish man. You'll be feeding the swine. And not only will that be your job, but feel the harshness of his master. He doesn't take care of his servants. He hardly feeds him. For notice this, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and came to his father. What we see is a young man, a prodigal son, and his life fell apart outwardly. But I want you to appreciate what really changed was inwardly. His pride was broken. His selfishness was broken. And I will tell you, that is where hope begins. Hope for him, hope for us. It starts with a humble heart. Yes, his broken heart, a selfish heart, had led him to ruin. He makes his plan to go to his father, and well, here's where we see the second heart, the father's heart. Imagine standing at the edge of your property every day, and you're watching down the road, and you're hoping, and you're wondering, and you're waiting, and there's been no text message, and there's been no phone call, and there is no certainty, but you stand and you watch longingly. You see, that's the quiet part of this story that we sometimes miss. Because while the son is off and he's making his choices, the father's there at home and he's living with a kind of heartbreak. And then when we see the son finally returns, this story isn't just about a broken sinner. It's about a father whose heart had been grieved all along. Look at verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His heart was wounded, but it was still open. And that son didn't know what he would find as he approached his father. But what was there was compassion. You see, what the father wanted was reunion, and he wanted a relationship, and he wanted it above all else. The father's love and mercy and grace actually cut off that prodigal son mid-speech. Remember, he had rehearsed it, what I'm going to say in my mind, and the last thing I'm going to say is I'm no longer to be worthy of your son. Just make me a servant. Just make me a hired man in your house. He never got that part out. Calls the servants, and he covers the rags of his unrighteousness with a robe, and he comforts his weary feet with new sandals. And those hands of his that had done so much uncleanness at the bidding of a harsh master, well, now they wear the blessing adorned by the ring of the father, a ring, and they're making merry. His heart had been broken by love. His heart had been wounded, seeking for reunion. It was hurt so deeply, he said, my son had been dead. but now he's alive again. And so Brother Ryan had read all that part of the story so well. I said, there's three hearts that we want to consider. And so we need to read a little further. The very beginning of the story, Jesus said a man had two sons. So what about that other brother? And there is an older brother, and we see that his heart is quite hard, for he is unwilling to rejoice. There's this older brother. He didn't leave the father. He didn't waste anything. But we begin to appreciate that his heart was just as distant, just as far away from the father. Let's keep reading. Verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never even gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with the harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, on the outside, looking in, you'd say, this fellow's not broken. I mean, not outwardly. He's right where he's supposed to be, doing right what he ought to be, all along. And yet, his heart was so hard, he could not rejoice. He could not be happy even for his father. I tell you, it's a broken heart. His heart's not right. Three hearts, three broken hearts. One ruined by selfish sin, one wounded by love, one hardened by self-righteousness. Can they be helped? And again, I want you to be asking, where is my heart in this story? I'm broken. Can Jesus help? When we think about these three hearts, we then come to discover the glory of the gospel and truth, the heart of the gospel. And that's number two in your notes. What does Jesus do with hearts like these? Let's talk about the heart of the gospel for a moment. Because when we think about our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he has risen, our risen Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus saw all the brokenness of the world and he determined to do something about it. That's why the scripture will call him the great physician. He can mend the wounds. That's why the scripture says his mission was to come and to seek and save the lost. He wants to redeem. He wants to bring them home. That's why the scripture will tell us that he knows the hearts of men. He knows your heart. He knows what you've carried in here with your heart this morning. Why, even these parables, and there's actually three of them in Luke chapter 15, they show us about how Jesus is here to help the broken. The first couple of verses of the chapter, and you won't offend me if you want to look at them, but the first couple of verses of the chapter show you who Jesus is talking to. And it's a mixed group of people. And there's these sinners there in the room. And basically these sinners and tax collectors, and they know they're not right with God. And the culture knows they're not right with God. And Jesus knows they're not right with God. But Jesus is ministering to them. And then there's these Pharisees and these scribes or religious leaders. And they're the ones that we've said we've made all of our life about trying to pursue God and serve God. And actually Jesus is ministering to them. But he would spend time with sinners and he would eat with sinners because they needed him. And Jesus saw people as they were, as they are, sheep who had gone astray, sheep who needed a shepherd to bring them home. Yeah, sheep are foolish animals, and so they will wander off. And God had put some shepherds over them, over those ancient people, like the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, but they had failed the people. And there were lost coins stamped with the image of God, but these coins had been misplaced and they had been overlooked. And he knew some people were disobedient sons and they had wasted an inheritance, and what they needed was to come home to their father. Lives marked by foolishness and carelessness and selfishness and willfulness. And these themes run throughout the parables in Luke chapter 15. These are the attitudes that lead to broken hearts. These are the things that cause broken hearts. Why? Because they lead to sin. And sin ruins everything. Sin ruins everything. Sin breaks hearts. It breaks my heart. It will break your heart. And we see it in this parable. We see how sin works, beginning first with this prodigal and this first son we're looking at. The prodigal's brokenness is ever so clear. In chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, when he came to himself, when he came to himself, he realizes the error of his ways and he sought repentance. What does repentance mean? It means he turned and he went back the way he came. He turned right around and headed back to his father. He no longer believed he was worthy to be the son to such a good father. However, he remembered this about his father. His father treated hired servants better than this pigsty situation he was living in. And he just hoped that he could serve his father, that if he went back to his father could find some little bit of good in him or some little bit of potential in him, that he would just hire him to come work for him. Just make me a worker. I know I could never be your son. That's broken. He was broken. No selfish pride, no arrogant willfulness remained in him. He would repent. He would confess his sin to his father. He would seek mercy from that father. Oh, please, Father, just make me a servant. And it may be that today you know that pain of brokenness. You've come in here today and we're so glad you're here. But the truth is, you know you have broken your life. And you relate to this young man, this prodigal, because you say, selfishness, willfulness, I see that in the mirror a lot more times than I don't. I know this prodigal, but it's been so costly. It's been so expensive to live that way. Perhaps choices you've made, sins you've committed, have cost you your reputation, or it's cost you a career, or it has cost you precious relationships, or it's cost you your health. Maybe it even cost you your freedom for a time. And looking back, you know, I've got no one to blame but myself. There is a God, and he has blessed you, but you were selfish and you were willful, and you took what you want and you did what you wanted, but then you reaped what you sowed. And it was so humbling. It is so humbling, and it's all broken. And you say, I'm all broken, and where do I begin? Because sin ruins everything. Can Jesus restore what sin has broken? But what about this father? Maybe today you sympathize with the father in this story because you've come here with a wounded heart, a heart that's been wronged, and you are desperately watching. You are looking for restoration, for healing that really is beyond your control. Your situation is not like the prodigal. You cannot repent and go back and undo something because you didn't do anything. And nevertheless, you're broken and you know you're wounded. What do you mean? I mean, we were living our life and we're even doing good things, and then wham, we're betrayed by someone we love and deserted by them. Or wham, the spouse we had abandoned us. A child abandoned us. Wham, the doctor gives us terrible news about our health or the health of a dear loved one. Wham, the accident happened. Wham, there was a fire. Wham, the hurricane came. And we are here. but we're broken and we're mourning and we're grieving and we're hurting, we're wounded. And we know that brokenness, pain, and suffering that comes from evil in the world, whether we're experiencing today because of the moral evil of others, what they've done to us, or the natural evil of living in a sin-cursed world, we're here and we're broken. And we say, sin ruins everything. Can Jesus restore what sin has broken? But there's that third person. There's that third heart. And perhaps you see yourself in the older brother. And that brings its own sort of shame and sorrow, doesn't it? The older brother thought he loved the Father and dedicated his life to serving the Father and said, I'm going to be right here. I'm going to please my Father. But now it is revealed. He did not have the heart of the Father. His heart was broken in that it did not love what the Father loved. He did not love his brother. How do you know? Because the Father had to explain it to him. In verse 24, the Father said, My son was dead and is alive again. But in verse 32, he says, your brother was dead and is alive again. You see, an older brother with a heart like his doesn't look after a younger brother. He's not his brother's keeper. And that is how sheep wander off. And that is how coins never get recovered. That's how valuable coins get overlooked and lost. It was a different sort of selfishness than the prodigals because it's not immediately observable, but it was nevertheless selfishness. It was self-righteousness, and that hard heart is a broken heart. And where does this parable leave? This parable leaves off without us knowing what the older brother chose to do. His father's inviting him, you need to come in and know the joy. You need to come into the celebration. Come into this feast. Well, how does he respond? And for anyone who claims to love God and to be faithful to God and thinks that their heart is, well, my heart's not broken, my heart's far from broken. I think this story causes us to ask, are you sure about that? Because Jesus taught us that the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And let us understand that the fruit, the evidence of loving God is loving your neighbor and loving your neighbor as yourself. Or to use the words of the Apostle John in 1 John 4 verses 20 and 21, you're making yourself a liar. If you say you love God, whom you have not seen, but you do not love your brother who you see. You see, God loves people. And God loves precious souls. And no matter what they look like, and no matter where they come from, and no matter what they did. And then it starts to dawn on you, okay, I'm broken. Because I love God. I love the idea of God. But I don't love people. I don't love people like I should. I don't love people like that. I don't pray for people. I don't take the gospel to people. I don't have time for people. I don't volunteer or give, or help, or listen to people. I have been selfish. I have been self-righteous. Sin ruins everything. Can Jesus restore what sin has broken? And he can. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can. It is the gospel that's the power for salvation. It's the gospel that's the power of restoration. I know we've been kind of camping in Luke chapter 15, but if you would, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our brother Bob alluded to it as he led our minds at the table. The scripture says in that place, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. My friends, we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, and because of his cross, we know that he loves. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died on the cross for your sins, according to the scriptures. And because of the resurrection, we know he saves. Because of the power there. How do I know that he died? Because he was buried. How do I know that he arose? Because he was seen. All of this was done according to the scriptures, God's plan for salvation. And if it happened according to the way God said, we know it happened for the purpose which God said. He died for our sins to save us. That's good news. He died to renew broken hearts. Look at this prodigal and know that by the power of the gospel, oh yes, the ruined can be reborn. The ruined can be reborn. Rebirth is possible in the gospel. It's that wonderful reunion picture when he comes to his father. Oh, if I could just be a servant in this house. No, you're my son. Give him the robe, give him the ring, give him the sandals. Let there be a feast. He had been dead, but now he is alive again. Alive again. Born again. Reborn. He is new. He's my new son. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, isn't that the promise of the gospel? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The gospel takes that broken heart ruined by sin, the humble one who will repent, and you will be reborn, born again, a new creation. And what of the wounded heart? Do you know by the gospel the wounded heart can be restored? That our God is a God of all comfort? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We can be made whole in the gospel. By his stripes we are healed. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The wounded heart that is open for restoration and healing, it will be healed in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. What of the hard-hearted? What of the cold-hearted? Do you know even the cold heart can be rekindled? Do you know that one whose heart has grown cold for God or for their neighbor, it can be rekindled, that revival is found in the gospel? In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 8, that hard heart needs to repent, just as the willful sinner must repent. But after the repentance, think about the rekindling. Think about revival in verse 8. Even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it, though I did regret it. But I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. I'm getting excited because I want to read verse 11. Verse 11. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter, to be made sorrow for our sin, our error, or even a hard heart. But if we'll repent, there is renewal, there is rekindling, there is revival in all these ways. And it is the gospel that does that. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, a few moments ago, I asked you to think about the question, where is my heart in this story? And some of us are like the prodigal. And we know what it is to make choices that have broken our lives. But some of us are here like the father. And we're carrying wound, grief, burden, which we did not choose. It was given to us. And some of us are like the older brother, very close to God outwardly, but struggling inwardly with coldness, pride, distance. But Jesus didn't tell the parable just to expose brokenness. See, he tells this parable because he came to heal it. And he seeks the lost. And he restores the ruined. And he binds up the wounded. And he softens a hardened heart. And the clearest proof of that is the cross of Christ. That because of the cross, Jesus stepped into our broken world and he took sin. He paid for sin. He died for sin. The Bible calls it a propitiation. The Bible calls it a satisfaction. The Bible calls it an atonement. But all that means is he paid for our sin to make us whole again. That we can be reborn and everything be made new. And I don't need to wonder, can Jesus help? No, I got to ask, will I come to the Father? My question is, will I trust the Son? We know that there's a place of great joy, the joy of the Father. Will I choose to enter into his joy? Where's your heart today? Would you become a Christian today? We're going to sing a song right now. Our brother's going to come forward and lead us. A song of invitation, a song of encouragement. But know that the medicine for your heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever way it might be wounded or broken today. That the path to God is the same for us all. It is one of turning to him. It is one of repentance. Confessing sin apart from him, but confessing that Jesus is the Lord who died for our sins and rose again. And being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Being immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Being born again of water and the Spirit. We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. And if you're not a Christian, you don't need to sing the song. You need to come down the aisle. You need to be baptized into Jesus. You need to let him help heal all that's broken by the gospel. If that's your heart's desire, won't you come forward now and share it with me as we stand and sing together? Won't you please come?